Yesterday's prophecies, today's headlines. This is the Hal Lindsey Report. And now, Hal Lindsey.
Good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Hal Lindsey Report. This week, I want to reach back into the recent past and present some important Bible teaching from one of our past editions. I think this will be a great benefit to you in your daily walk with Christ. I pray that this encore presentation will bless you and strengthen you for the days ahead. The modern lie. I believe that we are living in a time when there's a great paradox. A paradox because the state of Israel and its continuing Middle East conflict with the Muslim people continues to dominate world affairs. It dominates most of the UN debate. It dominates a great deal of the media. And I believe it all is because the media has swallowed a myth, a monstrous lie that has come to be accepted as truth. Probably the most important part of this lie is the myth: Jews stole Palestinian cities, land, and houses. This is a falsehood taught to Palestinians and many Arab children from infancy. This is an excerpt from one of the Arabic 12th grade textbooks. Palestine's 1948 war ended with a catastrophe, or Nakba as they call it, that is unprecedented in history, when the Zionist gang stole Palestine and expelled its people from their cities, their villages, their lands, and their houses, and established the State of Israel. These claims are false. Here are the facts. There was no Arab state or nation called Palestine in the Middle East in 1948 or ever. That means there was no Palestinian nation that the Jews could steal or occupy. Let's look at some of history. The Ottoman Turks ruled the entire area from 1517 to 1917. During that time, there were no nations or independent states within the empire, just provinces. The locations of the future states of Israel, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq, and others were created by the European powers at the end of the First World War out of the ruins of the Turkish Empire. A homeland for Israel was one of the first created by the League of Nations. The fact is, the Jews have lived continuously in Palestine for 3,700 years. Since the 19th century, the Jews were a majority of the population in Jerusalem. Therefore, since Israel's claim is older than any other, and its people have inhabited the land longer than any others, Israel has as much right to exist in the Middle East as do any of these Arab states. Jews are the most persecuted people on earth. They were victims of the ruthless Russian pogroms and in other Eastern European persecutions. The Nazis attempted to eliminate the entire Jewish race. More than 6 million men, women, and children were murdered in cold blood. Haj Amin al-Husseini, the leader of what we now know as the Palestinians, was in full cooperation with Adolf Hitler in his final solution plan for the Jewish people. They almost succeeded. You know, it's interesting that in this great attempt, many of those Jews could have been saved if other nations in the West would have accepted them to immigrate. At the San Remo Conference in 1922, the League of Nations gave Britain the mandate to create a home for the Jews. A substantial portion of the land encompassing modern Jordan and Israel at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea was designated as the Palestine Mandate. It was to be a final secure homeland for the Jewish people. But the Arabs benefited most from the mandate, it turns out. In 1922, as British Colonial Secretary, Winston Churchill gave Transjordan to the Hashemites. Now, let me explain this for a minute. The Hashemites were the guardians and custodians of the holy places, Mecca and Medina, for many centuries. They helped somewhat in the war effort in World War I. And so when they appealed to Churchill's department that they should be rewarded as helpers by giving a home, he then appealed to give Transjordan to them. The Hashemites, whom we know now as the Jordanians, were driven from their position as the guardians of the holy sites by the Saudis. Jewish leader Chaim Weizmann agreed to give 80% of the Jews' Palestine Mandate land to the Hashemites. This was in exchange where the Jews received a written agreement that Transjordan would be made a home for those displaced Arabs that lived in Palestine Mandate territory. The agreement was signed by Emir Faisal, representing the Arab Kingdom of the Hejaz, or the holy sites around the great territory of Mecca and Medina. In this document, Emir Faisal promised there would be no more demands upon the Jews by the Arabs if they were given this land. Today, the Kingdom of Jordan, which is at least 83% Palestinian, is supposed to be the Palestinian state. But it is not acceptable. The Hashemites took over the Transjordan and rule it. Why? Because there was never a national entity of people known as Palestinians. In response to continuous Arab threats and terror, in 1947, the United Nations divided the remaining 20% of the original mandate into what is called today the Gaza Strip and the West Bank for the Muslims. It allowed the Jews to keep an indefensible sliver of land as their home. 60% of the land that was allotted to the Jews was a wasteland, but they went to work and made the desert bloom. What did the Muslims do with the West Bank and Gaza? They were given billions of dollars from the United States, the United Nations, and Europe and their Jewish neighbors. And this was for economic development. But virtually all of it was taken by the PLO and other terrorist organizations that used the money for weapons and terror attacks. The rest went to Swiss bank accounts of the corrupt Palestinian leadership. No infrastructure for a state has ever been built. Friends, I'm pleased to share some exciting news with you. We are now offering my new audiobook and all of my CD teaching sets as digital audio downloads. For those of you who prefer, you can visit my website, hallindsay.com, and download files, the various CD sets, directly to your computer. Then you can move them to your iPod, iPhone, or other smart devices, and have my teachings available to you at any time you wish. I've personally selected some of these sets because they're on books of the Bible that I think will be the most helpful to you in your walk with the Lord. They contain lessons and doctrines to strengthen your faith and your life in Christ. Just visit hallindsay.com, go to the store, click on Category, and select Downloads from the drop-down menu. Once there, you'll find all the information you need about the file format and pricing. Digital audio downloads, now available at hallindsay.com. For the first time in 2,000 years, Jews had a state of their own. Though it represented only 1/6 of 1% of the Middle East, that was unacceptable to the Muslims. Instead, Hassan al-Banna, founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, said in 1948, "If the Jewish state becomes a fact, the Arabs will drive the Jews who live in their midst into the sea." When the Jews had virtually no land, the Muslims vowed to destroy them and drive them into the sea. So why should they believe the Arabs will not seek to destroy the remainder of the present-day Israel if they give them back the same land they had in 1948? The Middle East war is not about land. The Muslims justify their war against Israel by saying the Jews stole their land and then occupied it. The facts prove these claims to be false. On May 15, 1948, the day after Israel declared statehood, five surrounding Arab nations simultaneously attacked the infant nation. The attacking Arab governments urged the Arabs in the new nation of Israel to flee their homes. They promised to butcher the Jews in a few weeks. Then the refugees could return to their homes and claim the booty that was left. But the surrounding governments failed to make good on their promise. Against all odds, the Jews held them off. Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, wrote, "The Arab armies entered Palestine to protect the Palestinians from the Zionist tyranny, but instead they abandoned them, forced them to emigrate and to leave their homeland, imposed upon them political and ideological blockade, and threw them into prison, similar to the ghettos in which the Jews used to live in Eastern Europe." The ironic fact is that almost a million Arabs remained and did not leave. Today, these Arabs have more freedom as full Israeli citizens than their fellow Arabs in any Muslim country. If, as Jimmy Carter and his liberal cohorts claim, the Jews are ruthless occupiers and thieves, then why do the Israeli Arabs have more rights than Arabs in the Muslim states? Abbas's statement brings out a grossly ignored fact. The Muslims are more barbaric to each other than any other people. They have treated the Palestinian refugees more ruthlessly than Israel ever has. For the most part, they have refused to accept them and give them full citizenship. They have deliberately kept them in concentration camps in order to fan their fires of hatred toward the Jews. Back in the 70s, Jordan's King Hussein stopped the Palestinian revolt by turning artillery on Palestinian refugee camps filled with women and children, much the same as happened in Lebanon just a month or so ago. It was called the Black September event. Remember the barbarity of Saddam Hussein toward Iran in their nearly 10-year war. He used chemical weapons against them. And the Ayatollah Khomeini sent young boys into minefields to clear the way for his troops in a battle against Iraq. The Muslim world conveniently sweeps these things under the table. It's only the alleged Jewish mistreatment that they feature to the media. It's transparently done for propaganda purposes to win Western support for their cause. And the liberal Western media buys it hook, line, and sinker. The Middle East war is not about refugees. When Israel became a state in 1948, 850,000 Jews were forced to flee Muslim countries with only the clothes on their backs. Many of these Jews were from communities that had existed for thousands of years. But you never hear about the Jews' refugee problem because the Israelis resettled them in Israel. In contrast, the Muslims put their displaced fellow Arabs into concentration camps and to this day have never accepted them, assimilated them, or offered them citizenship. Yet Israel extended full citizenship to the Arabs who stayed, and the Jews are not welcome in most Muslim countries today. The Palestinian cause is not about self-determination. Muslims and the useful idiots of the West claim that the Middle East is a constant conflict because the Palestinians yearn for a state and Israel refuses to give it to them. Both of these claims are false. The Palestinians were offered statehood in 1948 and again in 2000. Both times they responded with armed aggression and terrorist attacks. From 1948 to 1967, Egypt possessed Gaza and Jordan possessed the West Bank. Why did they not offer that land to their fellow Arabs and Palestinians as a state? It's the same land they now want Israel to give them. Perhaps the Egyptians and the Jordanians know something we don't. Thank you so much for standing with me as a watchman on the wall. I pray daily that He will reward your faithfulness and protect and prosper you in these difficult times. Thank you again for being a vital part of my team. The Middle East crisis is really about the annihilation of Israel and the Jews. According to the Muslim propaganda machine, the cause of the Middle East conflict is the Israeli occupation of Arab land. This, too, is false. In 2000, Israel withdrew in force from the southern Lebanon, which they had occupied to stop terrorist rocket attacks on Israeli towns in the north. Hezbollah and Hamas immediately began launching missiles supplied by Iran against Israeli civilians in the northern Israel. In 2005, Israel withdrew its military forces from Gaza, which they had occupied to prevent terrorist attacks. As soon as Israel withdrew and forcibly removed the Jewish settlements, Hamas began launching rockets against towns and schools inside southern Israel. But these terrorists were not a rogue element. They are members of Hamas. And the vast majority of Palestinians voted for Hamas in the last general election and gave them control of the Palestinian government. Surveys show they would do it again. If the Palestinians have immediately and relentlessly attacked Israel, both from Lebanon and Gaza, when the Israelis gave them that land to them, why do we think they will not do the same when Israel gives them the West Bank and the Golan Heights? The Muslims openly declare their goal. Why do we not listen and believe them? At the World Without Zionism conference in 2005, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad declared, as the Imam, meaning the Ayatollah Khomeini, said, Israel must be wiped off the map. The Islamic community will not allow its historic enemy to live in the heartland. Anyone who signs a treaty which recognizes the entity of Israel means that he has signed the surrender of the Muslim world. At a later public conference, he said, like it or not, the Zionist regime is headed toward annihilation. The Zionist regime is a rotten, dried tree that will be eliminated by one storm. Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah is even more blunt. At various times, he has said, the Jews are a cancer which is liable to spread again at any moment. There's no solution to the conflict except with the disappearance of Israel. If they all gather in Israel, it will save us the trouble of going after them worldwide. Folks, all of this is fitting into the exact predictions about the reborn state of Israel in the last days. When I return, I'll share with you what the Bible tells us about this unreal and irrational hatred toward the nation of Israel. This may be our greatest opportunity, maybe even our last opportunity, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ before we're silenced by political correctness. The message that God has given me is more important now than it's ever been, for the church and for the nation. That's why I'm asking you to help me to expand our reach.
To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.
And thanks for being a vital part of my team. One of the great paradoxes of our time is that we are seeing fulfilled what God predicted would happen with a covenant that He made with Abraham and his sons Isaac and Jacob. In Genesis chapter 13, God said to Abram, and the Lord said to Abraham after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you're north, where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your descendants forever. And then when Isaac was born, God said to Abram, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year." And then when Jacob was born to Isaac, the covenant was reconfirmed in Genesis chapter 28, verse 13. "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord your God, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants.'" This was reconfirmed many times in the scripture. And you know what this does is it makes Israel the only nation on this earth that the Creator has given the title deed to a specific land. No other person or land has a title deed from God, but Israel does. And this sets up a great historical dilemma, because Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 28, as Israel was coming from Egypt and had been delivered miraculously by God and bringing them to the promised land, God said that they would be destroyed as a nation twice in their future. He predicted it would be because of their unbelief. And when he speaks of the second dispersion in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64, it says, "Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods. And among these nations you will find no rest, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart and failing of eyes and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall be in dread night and day and shall have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, 'Would it were evening,' and at evening you will say, 'Would it were morning,' because of the dread of your heart, which you dread, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see." Twice Israel was destroyed, once by the Babylonians in the 7th century B.C., and the second time by the Romans in 70 A.D. And as predicted, the second time they were scattered throughout the whole world for a long time. But then prophecy predicts that God would bring them back. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 36, it tells us that the main enemies of Israel will be the half-brother of Isaac, Ishmael, and the twin brother of Jacob, Esau. These two peoples mingled together and became what we know as the Arabs. And Edom is the common name that was given for the combined race called the Arabs. This is what Ezekiel predicts about the last days, just before the Messiah would come to set up the promised kingdom. He says in Ezekiel 36, verse 2, "Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has spoken against you, aha, and the everlasting heights have become our possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, for good cause they have made you desolate and crushed you from every side, that you should become a possession of the rest of the nations. You have been taken up in the talk and whispering of the people." But then he says, "Surely in the fire of my jealousy I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom," which means the Arab people, "who appropriated my land for themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and with scorn of soul to drive it out for a prey." And then he says, "Therefore thus says the Lord God, I have sworn that surely the nations which are around you," which is all the Arab Muslim nations, "you will themselves endure their insults. But you, O mountains of Israel, you will put forth your branches and bear your fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home." This is predicting the time when the worldwide dispersion would be brought back and a miraculous rebirth of the nation would take place. But God makes it very clear why he's doing this. In chapter 36, verse 19, he says, "I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands according to their ways and their deeds." And then in verse 22, he says, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will come to know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. We have witnessed that. 1948, this was officially beginning to be fulfilled. I believe that God is holding up His word to the world, and whether the world likes it or not, He is going to fulfill it. He says it's not because Israel deserves Him to rescue them, but because of His great name, because He has made a covenant. And He says the remnant of these people who believe in His Messiah, He is going to rescue. And He's going to do it with great war. It is this ancient conflict between a half-brother and a twin brother, and Isaac and Jacob, that this feud and this hatred is going to touch off the last war of the world called Armageddon. We live in those days, and I believe it's happening before our eyes. The significance is that the Word of God is being proved before our very eyes. This is why, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven, you need to receive the gift of pardon that Jesus Christ gave His life to give you. Just pray right now and receive the gift of pardon and turn to Him. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. God willing, I'll see you next week.
To support this program, send your tax-deductible gift to Hal Lindsey Media Ministries, P.O. Box 470-470, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74147. You can also support this ministry online. Visit hallindsey.com or call 1-888-RAPTURE.